Hi, I'm Circe Olson Westner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and this is our podcast, Host Nation Hospitality. This is a very special interview today because I'm speaking with Tayo Reimers, a 2022 graduate of Dodea-Kinnick High School, who is eight time zones and 5,619 miles away from me, give or take a few. I'm in Germany, he's in Japan, but hopefully through the miracle of Zoom, we'll be able to get a nice glitch-free, I hope, conversation about an interesting project. Welcome, Tayo.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So I wanted to just ask, I looked up Kinnick High School and it's in Yokosuka. I'm sorry if I mispronounce. Can you briefly tell our listeners where in Japan Yokosuka is? And is Kinnick High School also called Yohai?
Yes and yes. So Yokosuka is
Yokosuka.
located, yes, southwest of Tokyo. It's about an hour or two by car and train. So it's actually relatively close to Yokosuka. And yes, Kinnick is called Yohai. It's been called Yohai since its Yokohama High School days, which is what it was originally called when it was located about halfway in between Tokyo and Yokosuka. That's where Yokohama is. And that name stuck with it when it moved down to Yokosuka. So it's sort of a legacy name.
Ah, well, we have some Yohai yearbooks in our museum collection. That's interesting. Okay. Well, thanks for helping me pinpoint where your project was filmed and also how to pronounce Yokosuka. So as a military spouse, I had always hoped we'd be stationed in Japan, but that never happened. It's kind of like one of the things I regret about our military. How long have you been living there, and are your folks still stationed there?
So we lived in Japan for about 11 years now. We're getting to about 11, 12 years at three different installations, all within the greater Tokyo area, within the prefecture that we're living now, which is Kanagawa. And my dad is retired Navy. He was retired when we arrived in Japan, and he currently works at the Yokosuka Ship Repair Facility, SRF. So my family is still here, my sister, my mom, and my dad.
Well, you reached out to me via email just after Thanksgiving, to tell me about your documentary film By Fair Winds, A Story of Nagishi Heights, and I was immediately intrigued for a number of reasons, but we'll get to that later. In your explainer sheet, you explained your film was a 25-minute long, multi-generational, multicultural conversation-based documentary and community relations initiative to record an understanding of a lifestyle that defined the Nagishi U.S. Naval Housing Detachment and the surrounding communities. That is a long explainer, and it just sucked me right in. I really, was interested in hearing more. But from what I gather, the project started as a high school senior project.
It didn't, in fact, start while I was a rising high school senior. It was the summer of my senior year at the time, but the project was never related to school itself. It wasn't an assignment or anything. It was just an extension of my academic projects. It was just a passion project that I happened to be doing while I was still in high school.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. So when I read your project description and your social media posts, I couldn't be help, be struck with the wistful or the melancholy tone you had written them. And you start off one of your posts on social media with an elegy from Roger Scruton. And so who is Roger Scruton? And could you read the quote and just tell us why you chose to lead with that?
Yeah, so that post was one that I wrote to sort of describe the philosophy behind my project. It was a bit of a peek into my thought process. And I opened that quote or that post with a quote by the late English philosopher Roger Scruton. I don't know if I'm even pronouncing his name
Me
correctly.
neither. I don't
Yeah.
know.
And that quote was sort of it was included in one of his articles in a journal called First Things. And so the quote itself reads, quote, "An elegy says, this we were given, and it is gone, but we should be grateful for it and try to live up to its memory," end quote. And that quote is, it isn't much of an elegy itself, it's more of a definition of it. And I felt after reading that piece, the article was called The Work of Mourning, that I felt like I was making an elegy, a poetic way of saying goodbye, basically, while looking ahead. And I felt like his quote kind of captured what I wanted to do with my project as I was, wrapping it up and bringing it to a close.
Wow. I sensed that while you're someone who's, just starting college, you are reflecting and focusing on the past, almost like you're mourning. Almost like you have unfinished business there. Do you have unfinished business?
From the very beginning, regardless of whether I was actually aware of it or not, mind you, I was, 17-year-old, when I started this. I feel like I was looking for something in my past. Maybe, I was looking for a path or answers or a way forward, probably. It's really hard to say, but in that same post, that I just read the quote from, I write that By Fair Winds is the desperate attempt of a teenager to find a solid rock and foundation in the landscape of the temporary, grasping for a place to call his, my own home, in a world of vanity. And then I go on to say that it's sad and it's nostalgic, it's painful, and it's a deeply personal reminder, referring to my project, to be thankful for what we have, not in anticipating its loss, but because it's more painful to be unsatisfied and always wanting what no longer exists. And that's where I was basically over the past few years. I wanted the comforts of the past and a memory to return to. And I feel like there was something that changed somewhere in my past, maybe in middle school, maybe in high school, where I left, happiness behind somewhere, thankfulness, joy, simplicity. I couldn't help asking myself, where'd it go? And so I could have very well been trying to look for that in Nagishi as it was being demolished.
So there are many older brats, myself included, who can immediately relate to what you're saying, both in film and also, what you say in your social media posts. Most of us have experienced great loss in our lives, first as military kids moving all over, never really rooting, making and losing friends. I was not a military brat. My dad and mom were both civilians, but my military friends moved constantly. So I was the constant staying, and they were the constantly moving. Every 3 years, they would move. So many of us don't feel a sense of permanence to where we lived. And then, of course, later we watch the bases realign or get renamed or, even closed, and we feel the shift of time and relevancy. And then, of course, as we physically age, we experience the physical loss of health, of imminent death, of our own impermanence. And so I think what you said really can resonate to us both as nomadic children and then as we age and move through time. You also said in one of your posts that when you're asked, where are you from, your default response is, I don't know. How do people generally relate to, I don't know?
Well, I don't think they relate to it much at all, because the typical response, a common response might be that they kind of look at you a little confused, thinking maybe you misheard their question, because I mean, who couldn't give a straight answer to that? You must be from somewhere after all, So, I personally, I think you really have to read the room when you use that, when I use that response at least, because you risk making yourself look insensitive. Or you could, if it's in the right situation, deepen a relationship with someone around you by being honest. But sometimes it's interesting, and other times it can just be outright rude. So I kind of use it selectively.
Well, a lot of military brats, a lot of military kids, grapple with that. We're actually doing a book project right now on home. Because we, many of us, still aren't quite sure where we're from. And I'm in my 60s and I still feel that kind of push-pull of where am I, who am I, et cetera. As a military kid and then as a, you know, as a civilian kid, does it bother you that you don't know? Well, did it bother you that you didn't know where you were from?
It honestly didn't, and I wrote this in that post as well. It didn't matter much until my senior year in high school, when I had to plan on what comes next, when I basically had to begin making my own path. You know, until then, it was basically my parents' path was sort of what directed where we were going. But after senior year, around graduation, that's when it really started to matter. You know, outside of high school and outside of the military system, DODEA, there's no context. You're anybody, anything goes. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot to gain from being from a lot of places, but there's also a lot you can hold on to, I think, when you have a clear place to go back to. And I really felt, I definitely bothered when I didn't have that kind of place, looking at graduation and where I'm going to go in the future.
In describing your project, which has the official title, I guess the film has the official title, By Fair Winds, A Story of Negishi Heights, what do you hope to accomplish?
So there the even myself, I honestly do not know all the different things, all the different meanings I've sort of weaved into this project. It's definitely been it's been growing with me these past 2 years now. But I think right now what I want to share is that first how the demolition took place with those that live or know the base. So people who can't see it right now, or people who even live outside the base but can't physically be inside of it because it is it's about to be returned. But I also wanted to take this opportunity to reflect, and most importantly, I think learn how to appreciate what I have and express that, and as an extension of that, have hope. I guess that's what it really comes down to, is having hope going forward.
This is a little off the topic, but I did some collaboration with a woman from Germany, and she did a history on the American presence in Munich. And for 40 years, the US military was right there in Munich, but the people outside the walls, the German people, had no idea what was going on inside the walls for 40 years. It kind of sounds like you were trying to open up a window to people, like you said, who were not part of Negishi Heights, but who might be interested in having known a little bit more about it. Did I get that too when you were describing that? Is that?
Yeah, it I think for the people that live outside of the base, and Negishi is very, I think, unique in the fact that it was an open base for quite a while leading up into the Gulf War and then 9/11. It was an open base, so many people who lived in the area surrounding Negishi for a long time have memories of going in and playing and seeing the American lifestyle, the landscape, and just thinking that this is their first taste of a foreign lifestyle. So it was open for the longest time, but then for about 20, 30 years or so, it's been locked in. It was gated with a barbed wire fence. And so, you know, these are people who have a vested interest in seeing their own childhood memories within that facility that are now, you know, they'll never be able to see those again. So those Japanese people that live outside of the base that might not have anything to do with it now, I think it's still part of their personal histories and matters to them to be able to reflect on the things that happened there, good or bad.
Well, so tell our listeners a little bit more about the project, because we've been giving little hints and teasers, but tell them about the project, your process, how you found the people, because I know it's a multicultural, it's actually has, you know, subtitles in English or in Japanese at certain points, and any other details you want to tell.
So the Nagichi Project and its only product by Fairwinds, the story of Nagichi Heights, the video, is simply put a means of closure. It has documentative tendencies, but it isn't really a documentary per se. I see it more as like a family album or a conversation, basically. So it began as a means of documenting the demolition. I first learned about this demolition in 2021. We lived there until 2014 or so, and then the base closed in 2015. But I just wanted to document the demolition and showing it sort of how it ended, basically. I stumbled on some Japan Bratz videos. I'm maybe familiar with Japan Bratz on YouTube, and he had some videos of Nagishi, and so I thought I'd go and try to film it myself. At the time, I had been doing a lot of videography in high school, and that was sort of my thing, my activity at high school. So that was my given medium. But for a time, I even thought that I would grow this into some sort of organization to tell the story of other bases that had closed in Japan, or at least in the Pacific. But eventually, I just narrowed it down to Nagishi. I filmed through my senior year towards graduation. But graduation is really when I began to struggle on how and what I wanted to document. And of course, bases are a very controversial thing in Japan. And so anytime we start touching on the idea of collective memories and what to remember and how to preserve things, you have to, I started accounting for the fact that not everyone is going to want to remember Nagishi in the same way, if at all. So I started thinking about that for months and months and months, and it basically stopped my entire process. I just filmed, watched the demolition, and then that was basically it. I had absolutely no sense of direction. Later into the summer last year, I started doing interviews, finding people on Facebook, mainly through the Nagishi Heights group. There is a Nagishi Heights group on Facebook, and then so I would interview them, and then taking classes in college and reading. I actually started reading quite a bit after coming into college. And just talking to people and getting my thoughts together, that's when things really started to come together. In March of this year, March 2023, there was a bit of a conflict between myself and the people that helped me coordinate this, my trips to Nagishi. And I ended up not going to Nagishi for half a year. And that was a really low period for me in the project. School was busy. I didn't know, I still had no sense of direction. And it was at that time, at that low period, that I said, you know what, I need to get this project together and get it out and get it done. If anything, I just need to get something together so I can say that I did it. I put something together. I'd already spent too long on it. So I put a master plan outlining my goals, and I spent my summer editing and organizing and getting reviews and things. And then I posted it on YouTube in Thanksgiving, just as I was planning to. And of course, Thanksgiving, I chose to emphasize that theme of appreciation of those that supported the base and those that made it what it was. And so that was my rationale for choosing Thanksgiving. But yeah, it's been a very long a long journey over this past 2 years.
It's been out for a couple weeks now. Have you had a whole lot of response on the YouTube channel?
On the YouTube channel itself, I've had, I think, about 15 or 16 comments right now, but it's mainly through the emails and the messages that I sent to all the people I interviewed and the people that I met in the Nagishi area or that I met in Yokohama, talking to them about this project and just in passing saying, hey, I do this kind of stuff. And so we exchanged contact information and I got to send it to them. And it's those kind of people that I've heard really positive feedback mostly about the project. And I think it's sad and it's hard for people to watch, the demolition and watching this place that they remember so well just being a barren landscape now. And for others, it brings back good memories. But the one thing that I've really seen and that I'm interested in is that there are many people that relate to this video that never even lived at Nagishi. And that weren't even military, but they kind of see their own childhood in this this nostalgic retelling of a housing area that they've never even heard of, and it reminds them kind of their own childhood. And I think that's just fascinating that this very niche story has evoked that kind of response from different people from absolutely different backgrounds.
Well, when I saw that, and just now when you said this, I remember we lived on Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico for a while, and they tore down our family housing too. And I went back to try to find our driveway, and it's amazing in the short amount of time how the desert had just taken over. You would never have known there were houses, except every once in a while you see a little bit of concrete underneath the tumbleweeds and and I was standing there in front of my car saying, "I think this is our street." And the MPs came up and they said, "What are you doing?" They thought, "Oh, lady's lost or something," because there was nothing there except tumbleweeds and me. And I explained to them I used to live there, and they just looked at me like, "Well, you should really move on." But so this is just one person who watched your video and thought about going back home. And so you are right. It is something that quite a few people, even if they've never been to Japan, do experience. So you interviewed 40 people or more. What surprised you the most about hearing their stories?
So I interviewed mostly dependents who lived on the base. There were a couple of Japanese employees in there as well, but mainly most of the people I interviewed, 43 altogether, most of them were dependents, so family members that had lived at the base, and especially those that were, say, that lived there in their 50 or in the 50s, 1950s or 1960s. They were children at the time. They were very young children, elementary school, preschool. And hearing their reflections, I really began seeing just how much an impact parents and family have on a person, and how people reflect on what their fathers or mothers did with them. And how it impacts their personality, their interests, their careers, and really just that overall impact of a family on a child. And as I was thinking about that, I had to, I began seeing how I'm similar to my parents and different things that I've taken from them over time. Of course, there were people who had less than ideal, household conditions in Nagishi, but I think that family aspect is really what impacts people's view and memory of the base, and it just stresses just how big of an impact, how much of a strength family is on a person and a child.
So, what did you learn about yourself in this process?
I want to say everything, kind of rewriting my understanding of myself. It's sort of, I guess, looking at an age of innocence, which is, I was there when I was in third or fourth grade in elementary school. So, over time, I kind of get to see my flaws and my regrets. It's very existential in nature, and I'm constantly asking myself, sort of, who do I want to be and where am I going? I wrote in one post how the video itself has been figuratively a means of cleaning out shelves of books, cabinets of dishes and heirloom furniture, packing in my feelings in cardboard boxes. I'm a very nostalgic person. I like listening to people, but I'm also a hypocrite. I don't value my family as much as I definitely should. And I recognize that I have very selfish tendencies. And I just feel this, going through this, I just felt a need to change, that something needs to change, that I need to change. And perhaps I wouldn't feel so strongly about that if it wasn't for this process of mourning and reflecting.
Well, the metaphor of this video is a means of cleaning out shelves of books, cabinets of dishes, and heirloom furniture, packing feelings in cardboard boxes is really beautiful. And as military families know, there's a purging process every few years as they PCS to somewhere new. Do you plan to stay in Japan forever? Do you plan to leave Japan in the near future? College? Is this where
So
you're
that,
yeah, is that
yeah,
where...
that's like the big question, and it's a common one after I explain my project, because it's like, I have this connection to this place, but honestly, the big question is to stay or not to stay. I could stay here in Japan, where I know where I've been for most of my growing up, where I feel like I have some sort of advantage because I'm familiar with the area. Or I could go try something different in the US and learn more about myself through that. It would help if I had real interests, but probably job prospects and family and school are gonna influence my final decision in the next probably 4 or 5 years, whenever it comes to that.
Well, I had a question I was going to ask you, but you pretty much answered it because you said you didn't have a clear vision. It was just kind of always just nebulous. You're just going to go record it, and then you started building the project in as you went along. So now that it's out there, and I know you've alluded to this too, but what do you want to happen next with this?
Yeah, so with the project, all I really want, and when I posted it to YouTube, all I really wanted is for people that want to see it to be able to see it. So that could be people who lived at or are familiar with Mikishi, or people that are interested in occupation era history, or people that are just interested in reflecting or modern culture and values. I've met so many people through this, not just their interviews, but just talking to people about this, and visiting people in Japan that are involved in preservation organizations. And I still want to be able to meet those kind of people and talk about this, even if the video is finished. So, I guess that's a big thing that I still want to be able to do.
You have a Facebook page. It's called The Neighbors of Nagishi. And on one post, you wrote, "While I've never seen the future and probably never will, well, I've never seen the future and probably never will, but today I feel like I got close." What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so that day, the day that I wrote that, and that whole story is sort of based on September 27th. It was the last day I got to go to Nagishi on base, because I needed an escort every time to access the facility. But for so long, for the 2 years I've been doing this, there were always houses remaining on the base, and because demolition was moving very slowly. So there were buildings that were visible, and as far as I was concerned, Nagishi was always still there. I could still hold on to it. But for the first time, when I went that day in September, I had seen what I had always been anticipating, what I could imagine, what Nagishi was going to look like in the future, just a barren, flat landscape of weeds and hills, but nothing really, no houses or anything. So walking down Skyline Drive or Racetrack Road, which are the two main roads on base, it's really hard to imagine what that same area will look like without any of those houses, without that frame of reference. And taking Nagishi out of its 70-year context for the first time, that was sort of my glimpse into the future of what Nagishi will look like after it's a military housing area, as it approaches development into, whatever it gets developed into.
So what are you majoring in college? I know you said you're in college. Are you film
It
history?
is not film or history, although that would probably give me a better sense of direction. It's just I'm doing a general studies program, so it's very liberal artsy, very open-ended. And I'm not sure where I want to take that, but I think sort of I've been focusing a lot on sociology, different topics related to sociology. So.
Well, I think you're very talented. I would like to see more film work or but sociology, and it would be perfect for a filmmaker, I mean, so it's good. Well, in the few minutes we have left, is there anything you'd like our listeners to know?
Well, I don't get to talk about this a lot, so I just all I can say is, if you meet someone who is interested in this small little housing area, or definitely feel free to share it with them, share the video with them, and feel free to reach out to me via email if anyone wants to reflect or talk about the housing area or their own memories. I guess that's all I can say.
Well, I'll post the link to your YouTube underneath this podcast so that people can find it. And also, if you can send me the Facebook link, I can post that as well so people can just zip right in and see what we're talking about. It's been a great conversation today. Very interesting, very reflective. I wanted to thank you for organizing your schedule between work and time zones and school. And I'm barely on my little bit of coffee here. So we appreciate that we were able to carve out this time together.
Well, thank you for accommodating.
I would like to remind our listeners that this podcast is brought to you by the Museum of the American Military Family and Learning Center and is supported in part by New Mexico Arts, the New Mexico Humanities Council, Sandia Area Credit Union, and organizations like Military Brat Seal and Military Brats Registry. Our guest today has been Tayo Reimers. He's the creator of a short documentary. But you call it something else, a documentive. What do you call
I just call it a video.
it? Okay, a short video by Fair Winds, a story of Negishi Heights. It's a wonderful piece. Everybody should look at it. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a real pleasure.
Likewise, thank you for having me.